It is amazing how many people misunderstand the mechanics and the workings of temptation. There are so many people that I come across in the path of life that they're attacked mentally and they face some type of mental missile from time to time. And they're always saying, well, you know what, I just keep sinning in my mind. That thought keeps going through my mind. Well, I want you to listen very carefully this morning, because this morning we're beginning a brand new series on temptation. Because if there's anything that you and I need to understand as born-again believers, it ought to be the fact of temptation. And so we need to develop a proper understanding of temptation. Where they come from, how do they come from, why they come. And so for the next few weeks on Sunday morning, we're going to be dealing with temptation and developing a proper understanding. You know, sometimes somebody will say, well, since God loves us, and why is it that we face temptation? Why do we have temptation? Why do we have thoughts that go through our mind? Well, there are a number of reasons, and I want to give those to you, but I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. I want to reread our passage we read just a moment ago. Because God, if there's anyone that wants us to know the truth about temptation, it's the God that created us. He wants you to know why you face those mental, hellish darts that go through your mind. Maybe they're a word, maybe they're an image, maybe they're a combination of both. And so we need to understand from Scripture, what is it that happens? Why are we tempted? Why do we face temptation in your life and mine? Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, in the midst of talking to a church about their responsibility to weather the storms and the tests and the trials of life, in the midst of chapter 10, he couches one powerful verse that you and I need to get deep in our heart. In verse 13, listen to what he says. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. In other words, Paul is saying to the early churches that I want you to get an understanding of temptation. I want you to understand why they come. I want you to understand where they come from. But he also reminds them, said, I want you to understand that you're not having anything brand new happen to you that hasn't happened to Christians that live before you. And I don't know about you, but that's probably one of the best backdoor encouragements at the very outset of this message that I can give you. You will never face a mental missile, a mental word, a mental image, but what somewhere down the road, some Christian previously has faced what you're facing. And I know that there's a lot of conjecture saying, well, you know, I didn't want that thought in my mind. Well, just hold on as we walk through this passage of Scripture and we walk through the truths of Scripture. Because the truth is, we face temptation. You know, we face temptation for a number of reasons. You know, one of the realities is we live in a fallen body. You know, if you were not a fallen individual, if you didn't have a fallen body, you wouldn't have to worry about temptation. But we live in a fallen world system. It doesn't matter how old you become as a Christian. It doesn't matter how much you read the Bible. It doesn't matter how much you pray. There are going to be those times in your life that you're going to be hit with those missiles and those temptations alive. Now, here's the reality. In the life of men, God knows what men are more prone to. In the life of women, God knows what women are more prone to. And Satan knows what women and men are more prone to. And you know, the reality of it is, we live in a fallen body. You know, you walk outside the church doors, even inside, we find ourselves fallen in every way. And so that's one of the realities you and I need to face at the very forefront when it comes to temptation. Because sometimes somebody will say, well, you know what, I go to church and I read my Bible and I just keep having these mental images that go through my mind. Welcome to the Christian world. Because that is a fact of being a Christian. Paul said it, probably the greatest Christian that ever walked on this earth outside of Jesus Christ. And yet he made it very clear that he faced temptations. And Scripture makes it very clear that if there was anyone that faced temptation, it was Jesus. So you and I need to understand that temptations are not new. And, you know, the reality of it is, Christians are inside the family of God. So what's Satan going to do to you? If there's one thing that Satan is going to try to do to you, he's going to try to undo you spiritually. He's going to try to attack your self-esteem. He's going to try to attack your worthiness. He's going to try to make you think low of yourself. You know, well, I had that image go through my mind, and I guess I don't even have a right to pray. Don't have a right to ask God anything. Well, let me give you a comparison. If I was in an elevator and was going up to a certain location on the fifth or sixth floor, and there was a man there that just uttered profanities, could I help hearing what he said? Now, I may say to him, sir, I don't like what you're saying, but he may say, oath, 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 back to me. I cannot help but hear other people say things. We live in a world that is under satanic attack. We live in a world where Christians are being attacked every day. You're under attack. I'm under attack because Satan can't stand you. He can't stand a born-again believer, so we're under attack. Do you ever find yourself under attack? Amen? I mean, we face attack. We go to work. We face attack at work. We face attack at home. We face attack not because of our spouse. We just face those mental missiles. You're minding your own business. You're watching TV. And all of a sudden, some hellish missile comes through your mind. You know, we're in the family of God, and Satan wants to try to dismantle our lives, if at all possible. And you know, we live in a wicked, vile world, as I just said, so we need to be conscious of that. And since Satan can't get our soul, here's the one thing that he's going to try to do. If you're a born-again believer, and I would hope everybody's saved, but every born-again believer, he's going to try to attack your character and your integrity. He is going to try to take you down. He is going to use whatever he can in that process. So, is it your fault that Satan's trying to take you down? Absolutely not. Is it your fault that there is a Satan that attacks the fiber of our mind and our being? No, but here's what your part is. Your part is to learn the truth. You're going to be attacked in a lot of ways until the day you leave this world. And if there's one area that Satan is attacking men and women alike, it's in the area of sex in our world today. That's why you need to be ready. That's why you need to learn what God says when it comes to temptation. So I want you to follow along and listen carefully as we look at these principles, because, you know, Paul is speaking to the saints, and in this one verse, it's important, it's paramount that we listen to what God has to say to his servant, because, you know, it doesn't say that you'll be prevented from being tempted. Now, if there's one thing that Satan will do, he'll try to blame you for some of the temptations that you didn't have anything to do with. You know, you're minding your own business. And I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say it as simple as I know how. Some hellish, dirty, ungodly thought goes through your mind. And you're taken back. It's almost like it had a collision. You didn't want that. You didn't ask for that. Why? Because Satan aims at your mind. Listen, have you ever noticed Satan don't aim at your big toe? He don't aim at your little toe. He don't aim at my finger. He don't aim at my pinky. He aims at my mind. Why? Because that is the battleground whenever there's temptation. So, you know, Paul makes it very clear. So follow along with me, because Satan launches his ungodly attacks, and God wants us to understand the truth, because Satan's step is to, you know, walk in the front door, throw an ungodly thought, ungodly image, ungodly whatever, and then here's what he does. Watch this. Then he runs around to the back, and he blames you for what he put in your mind. Why? Because he's a liar. There is no truth in Satan. Everything he does is lies. Jesus said of Satan, he is a liar and the father of them. But here's what he does. He tries to dismantle our trust. He tries to dismantle our confidence. He tries to dismantle some. And so after a while, a person faces temptation. They said, you know what? I just can't live this Christian life. And you can't. You live it by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But Paul wanted these saints to know the truth. And here's what he says. There hath no temptation taken you. So I want you to follow along. You know, if we conclude that we're ungodly by being tempted, and here's what will happen. Temptation will lead us to feel guilty. But listen to what Paul said in the very first words. There hath no temptation taken you. In other words, they take you. They seize you. If you look up the word taken, it literally means seizure. It literally means to lay grab of your mind and to take you. You know what I'm talking about. You ever sat in church and had an ungodly thought? Don't you dare answer that question out loud. You're sitting here and you're minding your own business and and all of a sudden Satan brings a hellish thought. Why? Because he wants you to get your mind off the Word of God. And so, if we conclude that we're ungodly by being tempted, Then here's what you'll do. I just feel so guilty. I'm just so guilty. God, there's no reason for God to answer my prayer. There's no reason for God to bless me. There's no reason. Listen, I don't deserve, because I know that every time that I'm thinking those thoughts, I'm sinning. Let me ask you a question. Where does it say in the Bible that temptation equals sin? If that was the case, then Jesus Christ himself sinned. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So it is not sinning to necessarily be tempted. You say, well, how do I distinguish that? Just hold on. Because, you know, temptation, what is temptation? Well, let me just give you an example of what temptation is. You know, it's that pulling, you know, of Satan for us to gratify some God-given need in an ungodly way. Let me give you an example. And the world is really facing the reality of sexual interaction and just so many things taking place. But here's what Satan says. You have needs. You have needs that you need to get met in your own life. And so here's, you know, here's the opposite sex. There's nothing wrong. You have that need. What's wrong with that? God said, it's okay. Well, here's what God said. One husband, one man to one woman, husband, wife, as companions for life. And then in the context of that marriage, they have that loving relationship, that intimacy in relationship, that intimacy sexually. God is all for sex. He's all for sex in the right way, under the right circumstances. Listen, but what's Satan do? He wants you to gratify some God-given need in an ungodly way. And that's the whole goal. And so here's what Satan does. He gets you to thinking about something. And so, well, you just go ahead. You've got that need. You've got that yearning, whether it's in some other realm or in that realm. And so, you know, God created you. Now, I know the Bible says God created male and female. He created us. He created us for marriage. You know, not everybody is designed to be married, but many of us are. And think about it. If there wasn't marriage, where's the human race going to be in about 100 years? Just say, well, you know what? Nobody in the world is going to get married anymore. Okay? When this generation dies off, the world is over. You know, there's no more kids being born. Well, we're created for procreation. But you see, if we conclude that we're ungodly by being tempted, if you believe that, then Satan has won your life right already. He has beat you before you've even begun. And that's where many Christians are. They think, well, I'm tempted. I have this thing that goes through my mind. Sure you do. You have this thought that grows through your mind. Sure you do. Why? Because you're a fallen being, and we live in a fallen world. But Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, I want to tell you the truth about temptation. Temptations seize you. They don't seize your arm or your left arm, your right arm. They seize your mind. And so we need to understand, what's Satan doing whenever he tries to tempt us? He's whispering. He's saying, go ahead and do it. Here's why he knows. Because there's one thing he knows that God hates. He can't stand God. He knows he's judged. He knows he's doomed. And he knows that we have to live with the consequences of our sin. We may not want to think about it, but the Bible says, whatsoever we sow, that we must also what? Reap. So if he can get me to yield to temptation and give in to temptation and commit sin, I've got to live with the consequences. And we have a world that is a mess because people have surrendered to temptation. Can you win over temptation? You better believe it. But I want you to listen to me. All temptation is not our fault. We are fallen. We live in a fallen body. We need to read the Word, get in the Word. But we need to understand that temptations are the seizing. They seize our mind. They seize our emotions. They seize us in so many ways. Second of all, if we conclude that we're ungodly by being tempted, what we'll do, we'll live as a spiritual failure. And probably if the truth is known, there's a lot of people who are saved by the grace of God that they're living as failures. What do you mean? They're living as though they can't have success in anything. There's a battle going on for the mind. And so what they're doing, they're just, God, these things going on, I don't want them, but I just can't stop them. Let me ask you a question. Can you stop the hand of Satan? No. The Bible makes it very clear that you read the Revelation, there's going to come a time that the Bible says the angel's going to come and going to bind him for 1,000 years. So Satan has an activity, and his activity is launched at us. It's launched at destroying our lives, and one of the areas is in temptation. And so when Satan launches his ugly, perverted temptations, if we misunderstand temptation, we'll feel like a failure. We'll behave like a failure. We won't pray. We won't claim any promises. Why? Because, well, you know, I had a temptation. Now, there is a difference between being tempted and giving in to temptation. Because you can't help what goes through your mind. You can't help it if it's an attack at you. But you can do something if you internalize it. You can do something. You say, man, that looks pretty good. I want that, or I want this. And so whenever Satan throws his ugly thoughts at your mind, here's what he wants to do. He wants you to feel like a failure. He wants you to think like a failure. He wants you to believe you are a failure. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself this question? How intently was Paul tempted? How intently was Jesus tempted? How intently were those early Christians tempted? Tempted, maybe not in the same areas, but tempted in some way. Tempted to give up whenever they were under persecution. Tempted to deny the name of Jesus whenever they were getting ready to be executed. The bottom line is, you need to understand you're going to be tempted till the day you breathe your last breath. I used to think when I was a kid, going through high school and trying to do my best to honor the Lord, but being tempted. You know what I'm talking about. And I remember saying to myself, Lord, I'll be so glad when I get old that I won't face temptation anymore. I remember saying that to myself. I look at some people and I say, man, they're old. I bet you they don't get tempted. I didn't want to get old, but I got tired of this battle in my mind. But here's the reality. The battle is going to go on as long as you're alive because Satan can't stand you. But here's the good news. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? So here's what I have to do. I have to understand I have an ally. I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. But I have to get a proper understanding because just the temptation is not sin. Thirdly, you know, if we conclude that we're ungodly by being tempted, then as I just mentioned, we'll think we've sinned. Now, some of you equate being tempted to have sinned. And so here's what you do. I had a bad thought. I had an ungodly thought. I had a dirty thought go through my mind. So I can't pray. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I want you to listen. 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 Having an ungodly, dirty, horrendous thought go through your mind is not necessarily a sin. It is if you internalize that thought, want that thought to become a part of your being. But when that thought comes into your mind, let me give you a prayer. Father, get that image out of my mind. That doesn't fit who I am in Jesus Christ. Don't say that out loud. Pray it privately. How many times have I prayed that? I've prayed it hundreds of times. Why? Because I'm under attack. You're under attack. And the truth about it is, that person who says, well, you know, now I don't have those ungodly thoughts that go through my mind. Well, there's only a problem. That's not consistent with what the Word of God says. The Bible says you're going to be tempted. Satan is going to tempt you. As a matter of fact, you know, if we think that being tempted equates with sinning, then, you know, we're going to think, well, every thought that goes through my mind is a sin. I used to hear people say this, you know what? I'm sinning all the time. I sin all the time. Prove it by the Bible. Now, you can sin all the time. But let me ask you a question and think about this for a moment. Use your God. The Bible says when He, the Holy Spirit, comes and He lives on the inside of you, whose responsibility is it to convict you of sin? Is it the preacher's? Nope. It is the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Amen? Then let me ask you a question. If you have an entrance of a thought in your mind and it's horrible and ungodly and you don't feel convicted by it, you don't have that deep conviction that you've... What's happened? Has the Holy Spirit messed up? Has the Holy Spirit goofed? Absolutely not. Here's what the Holy Spirit wants you and me to know. Just that thought is not sin. Satan loves to launch thought after thought after thought after thought after thought at your life and mine. And you see, but here's what sin is. Sin becomes a reality when we want to flirt with the temptation. You know, maybe some ungodly thought goes through your mind, and I'm not saying that you can't make them a sin, But you, that temptation, whatever that thing is going through your mind, and you want to internalize it. You want to, that looks delicious in your mind. So you start, you know what the Holy Spirit does then? The Bible says He'll convict you that you've sinned. He'll convict you in your spirit that you've sinned against Him. And you know what? You'll be miserable. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say. There is a joy to being miserable as a Christian sometimes. You understand? Say amen. You know why? That's the proof, number one, you belong to God. That's the proof you're a child of God. But also it's a reminder that, listen, you need to be conscious that when you have sinned, the Holy Spirit will let you know. Holy Spirit lets me know when I've sinned. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, Jesus said when He comes into the world, the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. And that's His role. And so, not only that, but you know, and so we need to understand that just being tempted is not a sin. And that's why we need to understand that, you know, that's what Paul says. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common. If you'll notice something in that verse, he doesn't say confess temptation. Why? Because temptations are launched at you. Get the picture. Listen carefully. Temptations are launched at your mind. They don't come from within. Temptations are launched. Paul said, there hath no temptation. What's the next word? There hath no temptation taken, grabbed you. In other words, it's something outside that happens to you. You're minding your own business, Satan throws a dart. You're maybe even jogging, running, and Satan throws a dart. And so we need to understand that. And so, you know, it's that external image. It's that external thought. Not only that, but number four, if we conclude that we're ungodly by being tempted, here's what we'll do. We'll feel clean. I wish I could tell you how long it took me to learn and understand by the Holy Spirit's help that, Benny, those thoughts that go through your mind, that's not what's inside of you. I wish I could tell you how many times I got down on my knees and confessed temptation is sin. Father, forgive me what just went through my mind. There's no reason in those situations, some of those, for me to ask forgiveness. Why? Because I didn't sin. I didn't want those things in my mind. And so what happens is, if you believe just being tempted, you're going to feel unclean. You're going to feel unholy. You're going to feel that, well, you know, God's not going to give you anything. And that's what Paul is reminding these saints. He said, I want you to understand that you're seized. Temptation seizes you. They're common. They happen to every person. Because you need to look at it real carefully. Go back and look at the passage of Scripture real carefully. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common. Are you saying, Pastor, that other people have had dirty, ungodly thoughts? Yes, because Satan is wicked to the core. He's evil to the core. He's ungodly to the core. And listen, he works on everybody since the beginning of Adam. Someone speculated that there's been 25 billion people on the face of the earth. So you know what that means? He has worked on 25 billion people and he's got his art fine-tuned. And so he's trying to work on you. And he does work on you. That's why you need to understand temptation, what it is, how it comes. Now, we can position ourselves for more temptation. Let me tell you how you position yourself. Watch things that are not good. Put things in your mind and Satan just uses those as, that's why you need to watch good TV shows. That's why you need to go to good movies. That's why you need to put good things in your mind. Listen to what Paul says. Whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is holy. Does anybody know the next word? Think. Why? You know why? We put junk in our mind, and I don't know about you, but I don't like to sit down and have a junky meal. You know, I can't sit, you know, say, now, I love Milky Ways and I love Almond Joy, but can you imagine having a Milky Way shake, Almond Joy plate, you know, and just everything junk food? Wow, wouldn't it be awesome? Well, when I was a kid, I thought that'd be great. You do that and you get up and you feel yucky. And that's exactly, Paul says, guard your mind. Listen. What if I told you that I heard that somebody came in here and had a Jack Daniels bottle and poured alcohol all over this pulpit? you would say, point me to him, I'll take him out. But you know what we do? We put worse than that in ourselves, in our mind. That's why God reminds you to put good things in your mind. And I tell you what, it's hard sometimes if you don't have TiVo to put good stuff in your mind, because the good shows now are on late at night. Andy Griffith and all those shows that are good. And so Paul wanted the saints of God to understand it. It's an attack on your mind. And so, you know, you'll feel unclean. But fifth, you know, we'll feel disappointed, as though God's disappointed. You know, the truth of 1 Corinthians 10:13, listen carefully. Does God already know you completely, absolutely, and totally? Does he know you inside and out? Say amen. What can you do to shock him? What can you do to shock the mind of omnipotence? You can't do a single solitary thing to shock the mind of God. It's impossible. He knows your next thought. He knows what you're going to do. Does that mean he endorses it? Does that, if it's ungodly, but here's what he knows. He knows you're going to be attacked. And you know, here's what we say sometimes in prayer. Lord, I just know you're disappointed in me. Shows you how minute our knowledge is. You can't ever disappoint the God who knows you completely. He already knows everything about you. He knows all about mankind. Listen. So what Paul is saying, said, I want you to understand, they're common. You know, the fact that you want to stand godly and stand upright and you don't want to give in to Satan, that is a trophy to your Christianity. Amen? Listen, you don't want to cower down and say, you know what, I just get so bothered by these. Well, that's wonderful, because you're trying to stand for God. And there's something about standing that Satan can't stand when it comes to believers. And so Paul says, I want you to understand that, you know, God knows all about your temptation. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. Paul, what do you mean? It's new because it's new to you. You see, here's what happens. Something is new to me, and all of a sudden I talk to somebody a little bit older and they've already faced it. I thought that was new. And the Lord says, Benny, it's just new because it's new to you. And friend, listen carefully. It may just be new because it's new to you. You've never had those satanic attacks in your mind like you have now, because you've always given in to them. You've always craved them. You've always gone with them. You've always sinned when they come into your mind. But now you don't want to. And here's what Satan does. He keeps bringing those by and keeps bringing them by and keeps bringing them by, keeps bringing them by, because he's going to try to get you to fall. Now listen carefully to the way I just said that. He's going to try to get you to fall. He cannot make you fall. You have to participate if you sin. Satan cannot make me sin. He can't make you sin. You know, sometimes there's a comedian on when I was just a boy. His name was Flip Wilson. You know, he played two parts. One was Geraldine. And, you know, it was always the devil made him do it. And in that day and time, that's what everybody loved to hear. It's not my fault. The devil made me do it. Listen to me real carefully. The devil never makes you do anything. He can't. I want you to listen. Satan can't make you do anything other than what you desire to do and choose to do and willfully to do. You say, well, now, I just don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry, you don't believe what Scripture says. Because James says, when you sin, there's something inside of you that caves in and gives in and says, I want that. I want that image. You see, it's just the bait that Satan uses. And in this world, in this culture that he's using right now, he's using sex. He's using sex, 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 and more sex. Paul made it very clear. Satan is the originator. I mean, he got Adam and Eve to fall. What did he do? He presented something that looked lovely to Eve. Now, this looks delicious, Eve. Are you sure God's right when he said that? And that's exactly what he does to you and me. Now, listen carefully. The Bible says that Satan took that fruit, pushed Eve to the ground, and crammed that apple down her mouth. Does it say that? Say it louder. No, it doesn't say that. What'd she do? Took it. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. You have to take the bait. You have to take the bait and internalize it, and that's when you've sinned. Now, had she sinned just by listening to the voice of Satan? She couldn't help but listen to it. What, did she sin by just looking at the fruit? No. She sinned when he handed it to her and she internalized it. She ate of it and she gave it to Adam and he ate. And there was a chill in her soul because she stopped and gave in to what Satan offered. You see, that's what sin is in the essence. You're stopping, you give in to what Satan... And then here's what we do. Well, God will forgive me. You know what we do so many times? Well, I'll just ask God to forgive me and He'll wash away my sins. Yes, He will. Show me one place in the Bible that He'll erase one consequence. Never, never, never is one consequence erased when you and I yield to temptation. You reap what you sow. That's why some people are living a hell on earth. That's why some believers... You say, well, why should I fight? Because there's a life that you'll live if you surrender to temptation. I see broken lives all the time. I see messed up lives. And then they come to me and they say, how can I get my life back together? Because they've yielded. Well, if we conclude that we're ungodly by being tempted, here's what will happen. We'll become discouraged. Now listen carefully. Paul said to these saints at Corinth, he said to the believers, he said to them, he said, you need to wake up and you need to understand. You're going to get tempted. There has no temptation taken you, but such is common. Common to all men, whether it's your English, whether you're some other dialect, language, you're going to face temptation. But he said, here's the reality. You can expect God's faithfulness in the midst of temptation. God is faithful. What does that mean? There is no point that I have to cower under temptation. Now, can I tell you where most of our problem is? I want you to listen very carefully. Most of us don't have this in our heart. I mean anchored in our soul. And I can tell you this. This is the only thing that's an anchor against Satan. One day I was driving down 75, and I'll just bring you into a personal situation in my own life to help you. I was being bombarded. I didn't want the thoughts. I didn't want the images. But I was being bombarded over and over and over and over again. And I was traveling down the road, and I just constantly said, Father, get those images behind me. That's not who I am in Christ Jesus. Get it behind me. Get it behind me. Then it just laid on my heart to sing this song. Now, in a car, when you're all alone, nobody sees, you can just let it go for the Lord. We all let it go for the Lord. But I mean, you can be your... And I said, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. And when I said that, I just said, nothing but the blood, 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 but the blood. I went longer than that. And I noticed when I got finished singing that the attacks were gone. Now listen carefully. Satan is sinister. He has no exceptions. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. It doesn't matter if you're an evangelist. It doesn't matter if you're a deacon. It doesn't matter if you're faithful. His goal, as a matter of fact, his goal is to target the most faithful to destroy them, if at all possible. But here's the reality. Paul said, I want you Christians to understand, you've got a faithful God. He's not just our God, He's our Father. And He'll not let you face temptation without His help. And you know, one of the greatest things that you can know is that temptation is not sin necessarily. Temptation is the process. So if you have those thoughts that go through your mind, immediately, Father, get that image out in Jesus' name. That don't fit who I am in Christ. Father, get that image out in Jesus' name. That don't fit who I am in Christ. Father, get that image out in Jesus' name. That don't fit who I am in Christ. Now you say, Pastor, why are you doing it? I'm giving you ammunition. Because you're driving along, and don't get your Bible out and start reading it while you're driving. But there ought to be an arsenal of verses. There ought to be an arsenal in your heart and your spirit. And you see, God's not disappointed when you're tempted. Did you hear me? God is not disappointed when you're tempted. He's not disappointed when those missiles are launched into your mind. You know what? He knew at the age of 20, 40, 60, 65, 60, he knew they were coming. That's why he has been encouraging you to be ready when they come. And you see, here's what happens. When you understand, you get real close to the Lord. You know, there's something about when you watch little kids, they teach you a lot of lessons. I was in McDonald's the other day, and I was going through getting some napkins, and this little girl looked back at me. I didn't want to scare her, but just as soon as she looked back at me, she got right up close to her dad. And I thought, what a beautiful picture. Now listen carefully. If Satan gives you a distorted view of God and you think he's going to jump on you when you're tempted, he's going to get upset at you, then you'll get away from God. And that's why a lot of Christians blow it. But Father says, come here. I want you to know I knew it was coming. I want you to know that I'll put a hedge of protection around you. I want you to know, my son, my daughter, I will deliver you from all the temptations. I'll deliver you from the sexual temptations. I'll deliver you from the financial temptations. I'll deliver you from the emotional temptations. Just come to me. And I'll give you a way to bear it. Are they going to be easy? Let me ask you this. Have you ever been benefited in the Christian life without something being difficult or hard? You say, Pastor, do you face mental temptations? Yes, I do. Satan knows where yours are. He knows where mine are. But here's what the Father has taught me. Immediately when that thought comes through my mind, here's what I pray. Father, that don't fit who I am in Jesus' name. Get it out. Doesn't matter what it is, where it comes from, or how many times it happens. Do you just pray that prayer once a day? Nope. It depends on the situation. And I can tell you this. There are certain days that I think Satan just says sometimes to preachers, okay, attack him. And if I can tell you one of the days that's the most difficult for a pastor, it's Saturday. You know why? What are we going to do on Sunday morning? We're going to hold the life-changing Word of God. And so he attacks. He attacks. He attacks. But listen to me carefully. Father's not disappointed when you're tempted. Father's not upset when you're tempted. Paul said, and his is the Word of God, my dear friend, there is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. He'll not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with that temptation make an exit so you can bear it. You need to understand. You need to know. But most importantly, you need to know that you're saved. Friend, if you're not saved, you give in to temptation because you don't have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. That's what the world does. They give in to all these temptations because they don't have the same person living on the inside of them as we do. Inside of every genuine believer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, if you're not saved, you don't have Him. But what's worse, you're not ready for the end of your life. The Bible says there's two dimensions of life after this is over. There's one called heaven, there's one called hell. You're not going to live in a middle state. You're not going to a middle place. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm going to go to heaven. The Bible says, only those who have confessed faith in Jesus Christ shall be saved. What's that word saved mean? Saved from the wrath of a holy God. Friend, if you're not saved, you're going to experience in your body for all of eternity, the holy wrath of God for rejecting and in a sense trampling over the blood of Christ. Do you want to live forever in a place called hell? A lot of people don't plan on it. They just don't plan to get saved. And then all of a sudden, one day they die. You will live one of two locations. You, not me, not others here, you choose. Father, thank you so much for your holy word, for reminding us the truth. And you said the truth will set you free. Father, thank you that you remind us in your word that temptations seize. They catch our mind. They catch our being. But you're faithful. You understand when they're coming, where they're coming, how they're coming. And we just thank you and praise you for that. Father, I pray for that person here this morning. They're not saved. They don't know what it is to have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ living on the inside of them. And they know they're not going to heaven. Lord, if something happened in this place, they know they're lost. Father, I pray for them. I pray that they would come even now, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.